Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bishop Michael Sheridan, and on today's program, I'm joined by two very interesting guests. First is Mike Farisee. I think Mike Farisee's name is well known in the Colorado Springs area, but Mike is here today to talk about something that has nothing to do with automobiles, and I'll tell you what that is in just a moment. Mike, welcome, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Bishop.
All right, and joining Mike and me also is Brenda Schuler. And Brenda is with Life Network. And again, I don't know how well-known that may be here in Colorado Springs. It's somewhat well-known to me, and I've had the opportunity to visit there. And maybe, Brenda, if you could tell us a little bit about Life Network, that will give our listeners a pretty good clue as to what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Life Network is probably best known as the Colorado Springs Pregnancy Center, which is one of our departments. We also have a second location in Old Colorado City, which is the Old Colorado City Pregnancy Center. And so those are two of our most well-known aspects of the ministry. We also have Education for Lifetime, which is in our high schools, primarily teaching abstinence education as well as other matters pertaining to avoidance of risky behavior. And then I am director of Bridges of Hope, which is our post-abortion outreach. And within that, we like to provide support to people who have experienced abortion in their past and need to heal from that.
Life Network then is a Christian ministry that is devoted to upholding and renewing for people a sense of the dignity of human life.
Yes, it very much is a sanctity of human life ministry.
Right. So actually what we are going to talk about today is a new and very interesting campaign, and that's why Mike is here also, because this is a campaign conceived by Mike and several of his colleagues. We're going to let him talk about that. The campaign is called Difficult Choices, and the choices there, Mike, are the choices that women and men are faced with when confronted with an unwanted pregnancy, right?
That's correct. Right. Just a little bit of a background. I semi-retired from our car dealership business a year and a half ago, and I was looking for something to do. And one of the things that tugged at my heart was to pray in front of Planned Parenthood. And one of the times I was there, one of the counselors, one of the sidewalk counselors there, Stephanie Camp, handed me an insert. It was a 12-page insert, and said, "Hey, you might want to read this." And I had been doing some reading on abortion and all the tentacles that surround all of that, and was just, you know, I just knew a very little bit. But when I took this home and read this, I thought, gee, this has got some great information. And the idea came to me at that time that it would be wonderful if we could get this information out into the community and create a discussion in our community about the realities of abortion and the alternatives to abortion. And so I contacted a friend of mine, Jack Johnston, who is active in Pikes Peak Citizen for Life here in Colorado Springs. And we met about a year ago over coffee and talked about this. And after Jack read this, this insert, we both agreed that it would be a good thing to try to do. And so,
Mike, let me just interrupt you for a second. You spoke about this insert. This is something that was inserted into what, newspapers? Or
It's an insert that Human Life Alliance puts these out. They produce it, and they distribute these inserts to different pro-life groups who are willing to pay for it, and they insert them into their local newspapers. And so we talked to Human Life Alliance about what it would cost to for 100,000 of these, and I talked to the Gazette here and got a price on what it would run to take care of the insert. And we thought, Jack and I thought, gee, this is certainly doable. And but we quickly realized that neither one of us had the expertise to delve into the editorial part of this, because that's what we really wanted to do, was create a buzz in Colorado Springs through the letters to the editor and other articles. And so I knew of a person who actually her job is public relations. And so I contacted Kate and asked Kate to take a look at this insert and see if she'd be willing to help Jack and me do something with this. And she did that. And wisely, Kate made a recommendation to Jack and to me that we bring in a couple of people who are active in this ministry because they deal with it every day. And so that's the time when we contacted Catholic Charities and Kathy Thayer, and then Life Network and Laura Howe. And so now we had a little committee of five people, and we met for the first time last March down in Pikes Peak, I think it was, and talked about the concept. Well, as many original ideas, they change, they morph over time as you get more people involved and better thinking. And so we thought that one of the things we ought to be doing is maybe looking at an outdoor billboard campaign to raise awareness, and maybe use that as part of our advertising. So we contacted a gentleman there, Hal Ward, who is a very pro-life guy. And he came onto the committee, Father Bill Carmody, who many of you know is kind of the point priest in the diocese.
He's the director of our Respect Life ministry here in the diocese, so I'm glad he's involved.
So Father Bill. And then, so our little group would meet about every 2 weeks. And in communication with Human Life Alliance out of Minneapolis, we quickly discovered that what we were originally thinking of doing an insert may not be working. And about this time, one of the members of the committee said, you know, this really is not the way to communicate with our target audience. And we think our target audience are young women primarily, 15 to 30 years old, and young men also, but primarily women. Well, the problem is they don't read the newspaper. So they would miss this insert. Now, maybe their parents or grandparents, the influencers, might see that, but the people we want to reach, they aren't there. And so that's when things kind of got very interesting, because we basically turned the corner and decided to use social networking as the means to reach our target audience. And when that decision was made, that really took a few of us kind of out of the loop a little bit, because I don't Twitter, I don't know what Facebook is.
And I'm with you, Mike, so I hope you could explain this to our listeners.
I don't think I can explain it. And so now at this point, when we made that decision, Laura Howe said that, she worked with an individual at Life Network that was experienced in this social network. And so at that point, we brought on a gentleman named Mark Kyle. And then a little bit later on, he brought on a young man named Ben Liu. And between Mark and Ben, they helped us develop the website and actually the brand, because we didn't really have an identification at this point until probably midsummer. And at that point, the brand is, as we know it today, Difficult Choices. And so the website is difficultchoices.org, and that's kind of where we are today. So
is that up and running, that website?
It is up and running as of December 28th.
Okay. Okay. So you've moved away from the idea of print material for the reasons that you indicated, and now we are, what did you call it, social networking.
Social networking, yes. And so what we have decided to do, a lot of the content that is in the this insert is still very good. And we're using much of the content with the permission of Human Life Alliance on the website. But the way the website is designed is there are personal testimonies of young women, primarily, who have had an abortion or seriously contemplated having the abortion. And these stories, we believe, will relate to other young women there who go to this website, and they can relate to some of the feelings of being scared and not knowing what to do because of a crisis pregnancy. And we give resources to them, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So they're also, and again, on Facebook and Twitter, and I don't do either of those, but that's out there. There's a blog on the website that is being monitored by Kate where people can comment, and there's just a great deal of information there, including resources for young women and men to go to locally, not nationally, but locally, if they just need some help and people talking through things with them.
Brenda, you're probably a little bit more tuned into this whole web page sort of thing.
Well, I'm not too much further behind in that, but yeah, we do some of that. We know that a lot of the target age that he is wanting, that he mentioned, does go on the internet. And even for reading a newspaper, they're going to do that online over picking up a print version of it. And of course, Facebook and Twitter have just exploded like wildfire here recently. And that is a very popular way for our target age group to communicate.
And then this is easily found by young people who make use of Facebook and Twitter. I guess that's the question I have, because I don't do that sort of thing, but I certainly have heard often enough that if you want to get in touch with young people, that's how you do it. So I'm going to assume who's ever helping you, Mike, is setting this up in a way that's going to make it real available.
It is very available. That's true. The primary thrust of how, and people may have already seen these billboards up, they started December 28th, difficultchoices.org. There are radio spots that started January 3rd. We are on two radio stations that more heavily skew to younger women audiences. Cat Country is the one, and then Magic, I believe, is the other station. And we're running some wonderful radio spots on these stations. Fairly heavy schedule for the first 2 weeks of the campaign, first half of January, about 66 spots a week on each station. And then the last half of January, we tone that down a little bit. We run about half of that there. And then we are in some high school newspapers, college newspapers, with our brand, the Difficult Choices brand, similar to what we have on the billboards, a number of bus stop kiosks, that sort of thing. So it's pretty easy to get there. And when you go to difficultchoices.org, pretty sure that's where you pick up Facebook and Twitter.
This sounds like a great campaign, Mike, and we're going to certainly delve into it more and try to even talk more about the difficult choices that women do make and have to face with unwanted pregnancies. And we will continue that discussion in just a moment.
In 2006, the Colorado Catholic Herald was voted the nation's number one diocesan newspaper in its class. The Herald offers a wide variety of stories on the local, national, and world level, as well as your letters and the best columns in the Catholic press. The Colorado Catholic Herald is a newspaper you can be proud of. If you are registered with a parish in the Diocese of Colorado Springs, you should be receiving the Herald. If not, please call us at 719-866-6492. That's 719-866-6492. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
We're back with Mike Farisee, well-known in the Colorado Springs community, and he's here to talk today about a very important and unique, I think, campaign that he and some of his colleagues have mounted, a campaign called Difficult Choices. And Mike, let me ask you, would you say the prime abortion and the effects of abortion are about in the hopes, really what abortion and the effects of abortion are about in the hopes of maybe steering them away from that, or just to get information out there and start a conversation, or is it both?
It is both. One of the things that I learned early on was that when a young woman goes to Planned Parenthood for an abortion, sometimes she doesn't get the full story. And that bothered me.
From what I hear, most of the time she doesn't get the full story.
Yeah, I don't want to exaggerate, but I know that if truth be told, and if there was full disclosure like there is in every other health situation, a young woman might make a different choice. And so, yes, to your prior questions, yes to both, to point young women to the truth from experiences of other women who have had abortions, and then also just to point out some of the alternatives. If they choose to keep their baby, there are several alternatives available to these young women.
So, Mike, to you and to you, Brenda Schuler of Life Network, the campaign has this sort of provocative title, Difficult Choices. What are these difficult choices?
Well, I think from the beginning, when someone suspects that they may be pregnant, immediately they are faced with all kinds of options and decisions that need to be made. And in any of those cases, there are probably going to be some difficult consequences that they're going to need to examine. With a pregnancy that is unplanned, and particularly with a young person, you know, they need to decide, if I'm going to carry this baby to term, what does that look like for me? What are there going to be the repercussions for that? And while that is our hope, that that is the choice that they would make, we want to make sure that they are aware of the fact that even though that might not be an easy choice, that it is certainly a possible choice, and that there are options for them out there, and that if they choose that, that ultimately and even in the long run, that decision can have far less painful consequences than perhaps the decision that they might make to abort. And so adoption could be another option that
we
need to consider.
I think we should maybe talk a little bit more about that because I believe exactly what you say, that to choose to carry the child to term, I think you described it as very probably less painful than the choice to abort. Why is that less painful? When I would think for many people, they would immediately think that's the more painful route to go. Is to go through the 9 months of pregnancy to give birth, and then perhaps not know where to go from there. But why would you call it less painful?
You know, I think for someone who is considering an abortion, that seems like a quick fix to them. It seems like a termination of their, not only of their pregnancy, but of their problems. And they think that that's something that they can do, don't think about it anymore, and move on. The reality is that abortion has long-term effects. And even though a pregnancy, as you said, is something you carry for 9 months, if you choose to place that child for adoption, then after that 9-month period, you know, you may think of that child and you may remember that, but you'll also have the joy in your heart of knowing that you have given that child to a family. You've given that child life from the first place, and then you have also provided an opportunity for a family that maybe they couldn't have on their own. And so there are still lingering consequences, but those can have positive emotions attached with it. With an abortion, I don't know how many people I have talked to who have made that decision as that immediate fix that they thought that it would take care of. And while they thought that they would never have to think about it again, the reality is that is rarely the case. And that the lingering consequences of abortion can go throughout the rest of a person's life if not properly dealt with.
You know, one of the things as you were talking, Brenda, that I was thinking about that I've been told from women who have had abortions. Certainly, when you carry your child to term, you know, if you were born on January 8th, you always remember your child being born on January 8th. But women have told me that when they abort, they always remember that date, and it's a crushing day for them, as you said, long term, years and years and years after the abortion.
And not only the due date, but also the date of the abortion. And so then there's that extra burden that they're carrying around.
Right. That's what I was thinking about, was the abortion date was etched in their mind forever.
Right.
And now that we're almost, 40 years out from Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision, we've had lots of years now to look at the short and long term effects that abortion has on women. And what both of you are saying is exactly what I hear too, that there are very few, really, if any, women who can have an abortion, walk away from it, and then simply not think of it again, or go about business as if that never happened. That there really is always it's a trauma in their lives, and I suspect in many cases in the lives of the fathers also.
It is a trauma, and in fact, there's a term that has been developed now, which is post-abortion stress syndrome or post-abortion trauma, and it's a traumatic event, just like our soldiers experience when they go off to war and come back and have lingering effects from the things that they've experienced while overseas. And so the event of an abortion can be just as traumatic. And you're right, not just for the women, but also for men. And at Life Network, and particularly Bridges of Hope, we have resources for both, including for men.
It's so important, I think, for everyone to know that while all of us, the three of us sitting here in this studio, and so many people out there, Catholics, Christian, of all faiths, and perhaps some of no particular religion, who understand really what a terrible, terrible thing abortion is. Obviously, it ends the life of a child, but has such traumatic consequences for the parents also. It's important to know that organizations like Life Network, churches like the Catholic Church, that we have the resources to help people to deal with that post-abortive trauma. In the Catholic Church, we have Project Rachel. But Brenda, maybe you could talk a little bit about what you do at Life Network as women or couples come to you after an abortion. I think you said during the break, sometimes years after an abortion, still bearing the weight of this in their lives.
Yes, it is often 15, 20, 30 years later. Now, on occasion, we will get people who recognize much sooner than that, that they're having issues and that they are, in fact, related back to the abortion.
Brenda, a question I have is, do these people that come back to you 15 years later, did they ever even think about it in that 15-year period, or did it just dawn on them that they just killed their baby?
Oh, I think that for many of them, it's been an issue in the back of their mind. But, you know, Bishop, you mentioned earlier that there are few people who are able to just have that experience and never think about it again. I think that there are a number of people who are able to push it away in a back corner of their mind. And while they may not consciously think about it or acknowledge the fact that they are in fact being affected by it, it's still something that does affect other areas of their lives. And many of these people who come to me, Mike, 15 years later, recognize that they have been having trouble in their marriage. They cannot bond with their kids. They are having these issues and they don't know why. And it is often as a result of the things that we do that we can talk about a little bit later, that they are able to link these emotions and difficulties that they're having back to an event that occurred years and years and decades before. So yes, they absolutely are related, and it is important for people to, whether they recognize it or not, if they have experienced an abortion in their past, that they get in and start talking to somebody and see what's been swept under the rug and what's, even though it may not be on the forefront of their mind, what is it that could be affecting their lives? And then there are those who absolutely do think about it every single day and have for 20 years, but don't really know what to do with those thoughts and feelings.
That's why it's important, as I said, for people to know that there are places like Life Network and Project Rachel, their own particular churches and ministers, priests that they can go to. They don't have to walk around worn down by the guilt and the trauma, whatever form that takes. They don't have to risk alienation from other people, other members of their family. There really is help for them, and I'm glad that that's there. Now, you know, Mike is just a very good Catholic man who wants to try to do something to both help people who have suffered through an abortion, as well as do what he can through his Difficult Choices campaign to help people to stop and think about what they may be considering. But it's you, Brenda, that have dealt with people. Maybe you could go into that just a little bit more, some of the experiences that you've had with people that might help impress on all of us what a very serious thing this is we're talking about.
Yes, we have two programs that we use at Life Network, and one is called Forgiven and Set Free. The other one is Surrendering the Secret. But the title Forgiven and Set Free, in my opinion, just says it all. Because, as you said, there are people walking around with the guilt and the burden of their abortion. And we do not believe that, as you know, children of God, that that's what he wants for us. And so we do want to let them know about the forgiveness of the Lord. And we do want to let them know that this is something that can be overcome. And it's not something that we want to feed our enemy with. And so too often when someone has experienced an abortion, in addition to the guilt and the shame of it, there's so many other symptoms that they tend to exhibit. And it's just it breaks my heart to watch people go through some of the things. And maybe, you know, when we come back, we can talk more in depth about the specifics of what people tend to exhibit when they have experienced abortion in their life. But I'm so grateful that the Difficult Choices campaign is out here now and giving people an opportunity to know that there are alternatives to not only abortion, but, you know, what other options are available when they are experiencing an unwanted pregnancy, and to know that there are other choices that can be made. They're going to be hard, but they are absolutely things that are doable for them.
An unwanted pregnancy then is just not the last word. There are difficult choices, but there are choices that in the end can be best for baby, for parents, for the world, we hope. So we will talk about those in just a minute when we return.
If you're a business owner or you're looking to sell a product or service, target your market in these tough economic times and spend your advertising dollars wisely with the Colorado Catholic Herald. The Colorado Catholic Herald is the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs, delivered straight to the mailboxes of more than 69,000 readers. Call 866-6519 or visit us on the web at www.coloradocatholicherald.com. The Colorado Catholic Herald, too big, too loyal, too important to ignore.
Welcome back. We're visiting today with Mike Farisee, who is sort of the lead man behind a tremendous new campaign. Of course, it's a campaign, Mike, that's only going to be running for about the month of January.
About 90 days. Yeah.
About 90 days.
The heavy part of the promotion is all through January, but the site certainly is active and monitored through March.
Okay, and the site is difficultchoices.org, difficultchoices.org. And we really invite all of our listeners to go and take a look at this campaign, this project that Mike Farisee and his friends have mounted. And certainly, if there's anyone out there listening who is facing difficult choices now because of an unwanted pregnancy, by all means, go to difficultchoices.org. Or if you know of someone in that situation, alert them to it. Before the break, we were talking with Brenda Schuler of Life Network, and in her work in dealing with post-abortive parents, women, I presume, and in particular, when these women come to you, perhaps shortly after an abortion, or as you said, sometimes many years. What is it that they bring with them? What do they exhibit? What are the kinds of things that are going on that move them to come and see someone like you, to come to Life Network? Something there's problems in their lives, and what are some of those?
You know, for a number of the people who come in, they're women who have acknowledged that things just aren't right in their lives. And many of them are able to connect it back to their abortion. Maybe they recognize that their marriages aren't what they should be, and that there's trouble there with them connecting with their husbands on the deep enough level to sustain the quality of a marriage that they would like to have. And many times they're able to see that in fact does stem back to the abortion that they had some time ago. There are other women who come in who maybe initially don't really recognize that this is their issue. We have people who come to Life Network wanting to volunteer at Life Network. And one of our requirements is that if they have experienced abortion in their past, that they have to go through our support group, which is a Bible study. And many of them will think, well, I think I'm okay. I don't really think I need to do that. But if you require it, then there must be a reason for that. And then out of obedience, then they participate in our study. For the majority of those people, as they begin to work through the issues that we discuss in particularly Forgiven and Set Free or one of our other curriculum, then light bulbs begin to go on. And they begin to recognize, wow, you know, the issues that I had connecting with my children when they were little may really go back to the abortion, or the depression that I have felt for so many years, maybe the underlying reason is the abortion. We have many women who have such a short fuse. They have anger levels that are unexplainable. And in many cases, it's something that stems all the way back to the abortion that they maybe felt coerced into having, an abortion that maybe they didn't really want or even believe in, but didn't feel like they had another choice at the time. And so many of these women will sit there in my office and say, I didn't think I had another choice. But looking back on it, they recognize I really did. My parents would not have actually murdered me. I would have been okay. But it was just that immediate reaction that they had of feeling like there was no other way out. And that's what this whole campaign, I believe, is about, to let people know that there really are other alternatives.
Brenda, when you were talking about coercion, one of the emails that I get rather frequently is from the Elliott Institute, from a guy named Dr. David Reardon.
Right.
And it seems to me that, and I think this number is correct, that nearly 80% of abortions are coerced. Does that ring a bell with you? And I mean, I can think about, you know, if a young woman, unmarried woman in high school might be pregnant, maybe her mother or father might be so ashamed that, you know, you will get an abortion and we're going to do it right now, and, you know, that type of coercion, or maybe from the boyfriend. What's your experience with the coercion part?
There are quite a few people who have parents or well-meaning family members who will insist that this is their better option. I find more cases of where the decision was maybe coerced by the boyfriend or other sources, and maybe fed by the thought that, well, my parents will kill me, and so they went ahead and went along with it. The reality is, later on in life, when they did disclose what they had done, the parents, in most cases, said, I wish you had come to me. I wish you had talked to me first. There are a lot of partners out there, boyfriends, who, and even husbands in some cases, who will say, you need to do this, or I'm going to leave you. The reality that I have determined is that in most of those cases, particularly when they're not married, the relationship does not last anyway. And so the girl will go and make this horrific decision because she wants to keep the boyfriend, and he ends up leaving anyway. And so now she has the pain of this lost relationship compounded by the fact that she has terminated her pregnancy by abortion, no longer has this child, and has this lingering effect from the abortion based on wanting to keep a relationship that was doomed in the first place.
Right. What a shame.
In your experience, Brendan, your work with women, what do you find are some of the at least expressed reasons that you hear that so many women feel as if they must have an abortion? Do they give you those reasons and express them to you?
Yeah, I think the fear is a large one, but it's fear of maybe what their parents will say, and as we've already discussed, the reality behind those fears is usually unfounded. Usually the parents are going to be way more supportive. Maybe initially they might not be too happy. Maybe initially they're going to have some difficult times getting through that, but ultimately, you know, most of the parents come around. Some of the other things that I have found out are relational. You know, like I've said, the boyfriend is saying, I don't want the baby, and so they wanted to keep the relationship, and so that's often a choice, that a decision that they make, a reason for that decision. Finances is a huge draw sometimes. You hear particularly young people say, I can't afford a baby. I don't know, you know, how I'll take care of a child. I don't know how I'll provide for this baby. And I think that's where programs like our Life Steps are so important and is such a valuable resource to our community, because we have an opportunity there for particularly young moms to come in and do educational programs to where they learn how to take care of their babies, and they learn about other community resources that are out there. And as they're doing all of these educational learning opportunities, they are earning what we call baby bucks. And then they have the opportunity to spend those baby bucks in our baby boutique, to where they're able to acquire these material goods that they need for their children. So while, you know, they may initially think, well, I can't afford this, they're able to come in and get educational information that will in turn allow them to earn a crib or a car seat, and then also find out about other resources in the community that can help them with some of the concerns that they have. You know, some of the lesser reasons that I hear that actually surprised me when I first started working in this position is that it wasn't the rape and the incest and, you know, health concerns that are higher in the reasons that people give for abortion, those are actually pretty small percentages. The larger reasonings tend to be more social and financial.
Well, and I think in that sense, obviously a bit more trivial in the long run, and objectively speaking, that's not always the picture we get from those who would promote so-called abortion rights. But I think you're right. That is the fact, that it's not for reasons of rape or incest. That's rather low, and it's other reasons. You know, over and over again, or in one way or another, Brenda and Mike have both indicated that when someone is, a woman is faced with an unwanted pregnancy, so often it seems like the only choice is abortion, at least in that moment. What difficult choices, of course, is recognizing that that is a difficult choice, but you have both said there are many choices, at least beyond, you know, not having an abortion. Let's talk a little bit about some of those other choices that could be made.
Well, you know, obvious one is adoption. And I think right here in Catholic Charities, through Life Connections, not to be confused with Life
Support
Network.
Sure. Yeah.
Life Support. And I've done that a couple of times. Yeah. But Life Connections, and you might be able to speak a little bit to that, Bishop.
Well, our Catholic Charities, as well as most Catholic charities across the country, I think, provide adoption services, and we do regularly place infants, small children, with very good parents who want to be parents and perhaps can't otherwise be parents unless they adopt. So yes, very, very obviously, adoption is, and maybe Brenda, you would advise that as the first alternative to abortion is adoption?
Well, for anyone who is not choosing to parent their child, then of course adoption would be a very viable option. I know so many of my own friends who have been unable to have children, and even others who have been able to have children but just have a heart for wanting to provide a home for a child who may not have the benefits of a good family. And to be able to gift those families with a child that, you know, you may have conceived unintentionally and maybe even, you know, not wanting to go through those 9 months, and then to be able to place that child in the arms of somebody who is longing so much for a child of their own, is such a gift and such a blessing to be able to offer to somebody. And when you look at it in the scheme of things and in the spectrum of a lifetime, those 9 months can be pretty doable when you consider the long-term effects of the joy that you can give.
I know, Brenda, that your work is primarily, if not exclusively, with the men and women after who have already experienced an abortion, but at Life Network, do you have the opportunity to talk to women as they're facing this difficult choice and give them the proper counseling?
We do. Through our pregnancy center, we offer pregnancy options counseling, which would include parenting and adoption. And so, yes, we absolutely want to make sure that they are well aware. And we also do abortion counseling in the fact that we give the reality of what abortion actually is. And we talk about the procedures and what it's actually going to be like. Not in an effort to encourage anybody in any way along those lines, but so that they would realize actually what they are considering. And we talk about the long-term effects that I've mentioned a few here, but we want them to be fully aware of what their options entail.
One of the questions I have, Brenda, is when women come into the office, do they realize that it really is life within them, or do they think it's just a blob of cells?
Mike, that is a very good question, and it's a question we're gonna let Brenda answer after this short break.
The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Mike Farisee and Brenda Schuler. Mike is the mover behind a new campaign called Difficult Choices to try to let people know about the reality of abortion, help them steer away from abortion if that is a choice they're making with an unwanted pregnancy. And we certainly congratulate Mike and his colleagues for the work that they've done to raise the money to get this off the ground, for the billboards, for the website, for the for all that's going to be done to help people understand more the severity of abortion. And then, of course, Brenda Schuler from Life Network, who has been telling us a great deal about how she and Life Network try to help post-abortive parents, women in particular. Mike, before this last break, you had put, I think, a very important question to Brenda, and I'm glad you did. So if you would repeat that question, we're gonna have Brenda talk about that.
Yes. When young women come into the pregnancy center at Life Network, do they believe that they are carrying a human life, or do they believe it's a blob of cells?
Well, I think that, of course, we have a mixture of people. There are those who are very well aware of the fact that it is life. We have people who have actually given life prior to that, and so of course they know. We also have those who are fairly uninformed. We have those who don't know, and those who do think that maybe it's just a mass, or maybe it's not a baby yet, or whatever. And what I have found out in my work with post-abortion is that many women go to various clinics for their procedures and are told just that. That, oh, we're just going to remove a mass. We're just going to take some tissue out and, you know, and it's not a baby yet. When we all know the reality is that it is, in fact, a life, and we believe from conception.
Sure.
And so part of the education that we do, particularly in the pregnancy centers, is that we have brochures, we have information to let them know what fetal development looks like. We have wonderful color brochures that have actual pictures of babies even from 6-8 weeks old and show the development on through the term of their pregnancy. And in addition to that, we are also able to offer ultrasounds for those who are uncertain about what they might want to do with their pregnancy.
So they can see life moving, their baby moving at 8 weeks or 12 weeks, or when would a woman normally come in realizing that, gee, I'm pregnant? 7-8 weeks?
Or much sooner.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, an interesting thing when you were talking about, you know, showing young women, you know, pictures about the life inside them at 6 weeks, 8 weeks, on the blog on difficultchoices.org, I don't know if they're doing it every day or every week, they're talking about, okay, at 6 weeks, here's the baby has this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 21 days, I think, there's a heartbeat maybe. So interesting little tidbits of facts mm-hmm. on the blog.
Right. And the heartbeat actually is much sooner than that. And so you said 28 days. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking weeks. Yes, and on an ultrasound, they're able to see that heartbeat right away. And so, you know, within, you know, just a few weeks of conception, you have someone laying there on a table with perhaps their boyfriend or husband, and they're both able to look at that screen. And even if it's too early to see arms and legs moving, they're able to see that bleep on the screen and know that that's a heartbeat. We had a father come in and watch this ultrasound with the girl, and maybe they were able to see, you know, some movement, and he just stood there in amazement and said, "I could watch this all day. It's better than football." You know, yeah. They it's just incredible yeah. to be able to see that. And so for us to be able to offer that to our community as a service, particularly for those who are undecided as to whether they are prepared to carry to term. We're able to let them know that, in fact, yes, this is a life, and it's already forming.
Oh, that's great.
And how sad it is, I think, for those who are in the abortion business, in the abortion industry, to be so quick to convince these women that this is not a human being, that this is not a life, that this is just some sort of an appendage or a growth that can be removed, and they really shouldn't worry about it that much. And as Brenda's made so clear, they may be told that, but that isn't the end of the story. It is something that they carry with them. You mentioned these pregnancy centers. There are two of them in Colorado Springs?
Life Network has two locations. We are at 3700 Galley Road, just north of the Citadel Mall, and we're right beside Applebee's there on Galley.
And that is...
That's our main location.
That's the main location, right.
And then we also have another location over in West Colorado, over in Old Colorado City, and that's at 1350 West Colorado Avenue.
And that is across the street from what was the Planned Parenthood, correct? Planned Parenthood has now moved. The pregnancy center is still there and up and operating. I don't know if we'll be able to get one near the new Planned Parenthood or not.
I don't know if we're going to be able to locate over there or not. That's something that we're looking at. But even in our current location, we are still seeing a fair amount of traffic.
Well, that's good. I was so elated, really, to hear the stories of the numbers of women who were approaching Planned Parenthood there on Colorado. And with the invitation of the counselors, went across the street to the pregnancy center, took the opportunity to have the ultrasound, to see their baby, and then to hear of those who walked out of there and did not go back across the street.
Those were amazing stories to hear, and always warmed our heart to know that because of the prayers of the people that were outside and the initiative that they took to say, you have another choice. There is another alternative for you. Let me go with you over here. And that did happen repeatedly, and so we were so grateful for those stories.
So I'm glad those voices are there, and I'm glad the pregnancy centers are still there. And again, I extend the invitation to any woman, any couple facing an unwanted pregnancy, get the right advice, the right counseling, visit the pregnancy center, and know that there's more to think about, there's more to know than what you might hear at Planned Parenthood or any abortion facility like that.
And that those decisions don't need to be made rashly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people that I've spoken with made the decision just immediately. They found out they were pregnant, and then within days they had an abortion scheduled. And one of them came in, an older woman, who is still just saying, why didn't I just wait a little longer? Why didn't I get more information? And so for the person who makes that rash decision, just know the potential for the long-term difficulties or regret. I'm sorry, that's the word I'm looking for. The long-term regret is just increased so much.
You carry it with you the rest of your life. Bishop, you were talking about how, you know, the employees of the Planned Parenthood and why they might talk to the young women and convince them that it's just a blob of cells. Recently, there was a documentary released called Blood Money, and it talks about the business of abortion. And if in the audience, there are a number of copies out there, there are DVDs. It's a tremendous educational opportunity to listen to the business model of abortion centers. And it's just chilling.
I have seen, I don't know if expose is the right word, but I have seen that video, and it is awful. There are people, women who previously worked for Planned Parenthood or other abortion facilities, came to understand really what they were involved in, and now are ready to speak out on behalf of human life. And not only that, but to speak out about the tremendous misinformation, the lying that can go on in these facilities to convince women not only that they ought to have an abortion, but that it is not a particularly difficult or big thing to do.
The other thing that is really good to see are the number of women who have had abortions and they've recognized what they've done. Many of them have been healed spiritually from the trauma, and they are remaining silent no more. And I think that's the name of the group, is Silent No More.
Yes, there is a group like that. And you're right. The idea is to speak out and to say there are more of us than you recognize. You know, this is what these women are saying. And for them to speak up and say, we don't need to be silent. We don't have to carry the shame, that there is healing for this. There is forgiveness. And that a full and productive life is possible through the grace of our Lord.
We are, I think, coming to the end of our time today. So, Mike, I want to give you the opportunity to do any wrap-up that you want to about difficult choices, and I think you have some people you want to thank.
Sure. Thanks, Bishop. This isn't my agenda or my program. This is something that truly God put on my heart, and the success that we have had to date is because God's providence, and He has put us in front of the right people to help fund this. And I do want to thank each of the individuals. We have 25 to 30 individuals, a handful of churches. Certainly the Diocese of Colorado Springs has been very supportive financially. And if it weren't for the generosity of all these people, this wouldn't have happened. And, you know, I can think back at March and April and May and as our committee was forming, you know, we had this budget out there of $60,000 or so, and we thought, you know, can we even do that? And it was incredible how really within about 45 days we were able to
raise
that.
And, Mike, if any of our listeners want to contribute to this effort, what do they do?
Okay. We are using as the fiscal agent, if you will, a 501c3 organization called Pikes Peak Citizens for Life Education Fund. And it's important that you would contribute to the Education Fund, because that's a 501c3 part of that. So Pikes Peak Citizens for Life Education Fund, and they're located at 707 North Nevada, number R, and the zip code in Colorado Springs is 80903.
Is this information on the website also?
I believe it is, yes, because on the website, I believe every page has a resource section of Pikes Peak Citizens for Life, Catholic Charities, Life Network, mm-hmm. So that's very clear.
And if anybody gives us a call here at the Diocese of Colorado Springs, we'll know how to direct them also. So thank you, Mike. And Brenda, if you got 15 seconds, we'll give it to you if you want to say anything more about Life Connection.
Life Network.
Network.
You know, the one thing that maybe is a conversation for another time, but we want to help people who are facing these difficult choices. A way to avoid being in a position to have to do that is abstinence. And that's a whole other department that we have there to talk about abstinence education. But we absolutely are a resource for those who are in this situation and are facing those choices, and we want to be able to help.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here. Let's close by a little prayer. Father, as we celebrate during this holy season of Christmas, the birth of your Son, your definitive yes to humanity as you entered into our human history and our human flesh. Through him, may we come to appreciate again the dignity, the importance, the sacredness of all human life. And may God bless all of you who are listening today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at
970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.